And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, who have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other God before me.
Amen.
Thou shalt not make unto thee any carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain.
Amen. That is the word of the Lord from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 7, commonly known as the first part of the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
We have heard the reading of the Old Covenant, and now for the reading of the New Testament scripture, Romans chapter number 9, verses 18 to 26.
Therefore have he mercy on whom he will have mercy.
Yes.
And whom he heart. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resist his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus?
My Lord.
Hath not the power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?
Yes.
What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, and do it with much long suffering, the vessel of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessel of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory? Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles.
Yes.
25, 26.
Yes.
As he said, also is
in Hosea,
I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God.
Amen. You have heard the reading of the New Testament scripture from Romans chapter 9, verses 18 to 26. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And before we take a topic, we'd like to have a word of prayer.
Yes.
Let us pray. Eternal God, we bless you and we praise you, O God, and we just thank you for all that you are, Father, all that you have done, how you have been there in our lives, Father, to touch us and help us, O God, that you have kept back the judgment that many times we deserve because we were not obedient.
Yes, Lord.
But you blessed us anyway.
Thank you, Lord.
When we were in darkness of mind, darkness of spirit, in spiritual death, you spoke, God, one day through your gospel and raised us from the dead, and we were born again. Somebody here may not be familiar with that experience, but right now today, Father, by the power of your word, we pray that you touch somebody's heart, somebody's life right now today, that they might be risen out of the dead, oh God, the dead state in which they live, by the power of the word.
Yes.
And we ask you to wake up somebody today, Father. We can't do it.
Yes.
You said it's not by might nor by power, but by your spirit, saith the Lord.
Yes.
And so, Father, by your spirit today and by your gospel that you have ordained that it would be preached in all the world for a witness before the end comes, we pray you wake up somebody today.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Call them to yourself, Lord. Let them know the love that they have been missing is just what you have to give them right now.
Oh, yes.
And Father, we ask that would be manifested in this place right now today.
Please, my Lord.
We bless you today, Father. We give you praise.
Yes.
We ask you to bless your word as it goes forth. Let it go forth as a rushing mighty wind.
Yes, Lord.
That it might fill the whole house, oh God. And that somebody might come running asking, what must I do
yes.
to be saved? And we ask ask it in the righteous name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
To him be the glory, the majesty, and the dominion and the power right now in the church. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'd like to just grab a topic to hang our thoughts on today. Pliable in the master's hands. Pliable in the master's hands. Get the picture of the potter spinning a pot on a wheel.
Yes.
And the clay must be pliable in order for him to make the vessel into what he would have it to be.
Yes.
He may have to throw in a little water and work with that clay a little bit to get it to shape up into the thing that he desires to make.
Yes.
And it would be good for us if we would just be pliable, allow God to shape us.
Yes.
Allow him to mold us into what he would have us to be.
Yes.
You know, everyone has already been made in the physical form.
Yes.
But God would like to do something for you all and for all of us in the spiritual form to shape us, to mold us into the men and women that he would like for us to be.
Amen.
Amen. So we just want to be pliable in the master's hands.
Yes. Yes.
How can we not put up a resistance to what God is trying to do in our lives? This is what we want to talk about just a little bit. How can I be more pliable, more adjustable, that God might make the changes in me that need to be made?
Amen. Yeah.
You know what? One thing about the Christian faith, no matter how long you've been walking it, you can still be shaped a little bit more. You still got some rough edges that need to be worked out. You got some stuff that only God can fix it. And I can speak for myself. Don't say, well, preacher, speak for yourself. Well, I will. I'll do that. I got some stuff that only God can fix. And he's working on it. You know what? The problem is never on God's end. The problem is I need to be more pliable. That God can shape me and mold me and make me into that which he wants me to be. And we put up a resistance sometimes to the things that God wants to do.
Amen.
I like that thought for today. If God shut the door, why you keep knocking on it? What you keep knocking on that door for? God shut that door. It's closed. Leave it alone. Sometimes we don't do that so well. You know, we have trouble leaving that closed door alone. We wonder, why can't I get back in here? Been in there before. Might want to go back again. But there's something behind there you don't need.
Amen.
Something behind there God is trying to protect you from. And there's another door over here that you're paying no attention to that's wide open. That you can press your way through that door and get a blessing. God got a blessing right through the open door, but you over here knocking on that door that's been shut. So somebody, that's a word for somebody today. We need to wake up, stop knocking on that locked door. God shut the door. Cut it off. Leave it alone. Go away from it to his praise, to his glory. And go through that open door. God has an open door. He said, behold, I set before you an open door. It's in the word. The word says that. So if we would just learn to embrace that thing that God is really doing to bless us and leave that stuff alone that's locking us down and putting us in chains and taking us and setting us back years in our development spiritually, we could get somewhere. The Apostle Paul here, writing to the Romans, he starts to talk about the fact that the Jews had everything all messed up. Just because they were the covenant people, the called out ones, God had sanctified them, set them apart, made them a unique people for his own possession. And out of all the people in the world, it went to their head. We had a lesson in Sunday school this morning. It said knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. They thought, well, we got this. God got our back, so we can be bold. And it's all right to be bold in God, but it's not all right to forget other people that have not yet heard the message and have not been blessed.
Amen.
The reason you are God's people is because God wants to bless all the people.
Yes. Right.
The only reason you got blessed is because God had mercy on you.
Amen.
He didn't bless you because you were so sweet and so pretty. And I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about somebody somewhere
else. Come on.
You know, not nobody here. We're talking about the folk over across town somewhere. So I don't want to offend anybody here this morning. You know, but the Lord, the only reason any of us are saved is purely by his mercy.
Amen.
So when the Jews got up on a pedestal and started to say that we are the chosen people of God and you Gentiles are dogs, they had gone too far.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
The only way they could ever have been blessed by God had to be because of his mercy.
Right.
The apostle who writes this understood that full well. He hated the church. He didn't just hate it and say, I hate it and therefore I'm just going to not give, just stay away from them. He said, I hate it and I'm going to get rid of it. It's got to go.
Yes.
I'm going to rub it out.
That's it.
Get me some papers, legal paper, go get signed with Caesar, the government, get everything I need. We're going down there to wipe that thing out. It's got to go. He was zealous against that which God had established.
Yes, he was.
Come on. And so when he writes these words, we already saw at the beginning of the chapter, his heart was aching for his people because he understood the pride that is set in and set them at odds against God.
Right.
The God who had had mercy on them.
Right.
Who had called them out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Yeah.
And so now they begin to say, well, if God hardens people, which it says he does in the text, then how can we resist his will? Is what he says in verse 19. Somebody's going to ask that question. How can we resist his will if he has mercy upon whom he has mercy and he hardens whom he hardens? Well, I want to share a secret with you today. If you get hardened, it's because you have resisted God. It's not because God has resisted you at any time.
Amen.
God loves you exactly like you are. He loves you just exactly like you are. You can come to him right now. And turn over your life to him. And he will bless you right now. He's willing to burn the bridge on what you did before.
He said,
the Bible says in Micah 7:19, he will take your sins, cast it into the depth of the sea, never to be remembered anymore.
Never.
God say, I'm going to burn that old mortgage that you've been paying on and hasn't been blessing you. I'll burn it. And it won't exist anymore.
Amen.
I throw it away. It won't never come up and rise up against you in my just judgment on the judgment day. But you know what? We have the audacity sometimes in our own pride to question God. We have that kind of gall. That's the kind of gall we have sometimes.
My God.
I'm going to speak for me again. I got quiet in the room. We have the nerve to question God. You see what I'm saying? But God loves you.
Yes, he does.
He wouldn't have to put up with me at all. Sometimes I've even asked God questions. You probably don't do this. Lord, why wouldn't you just strike me and get me out of here? Because I knew what I did was not good. It was not clean. It was not right. Why wouldn't you just judge me right now? See? Because I knew it was wrong. My own conscience said, that's wrong, that thing you're doing. See? And you know what? God said the same thing. If you are in Christ, he said, what are you talking about? What thing are you talking about? I don't even see it. I have chosen not to see it.
Thank you, Jesus.
When you're covered in the blood of Jesus, y'all know how we like to illustrate here. You are covered. God says you're covered in the blood. I don't see it. What are you talking about?
Come on.
If you're in Christ, the Bible says all your sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. So far has he removed our transgressions from us. So our conscience is still convicting us in here even though we're covered. The only way to be covered is by the blood of Jesus Christ. If it's not for Christ, no one can be saved. But the Bible says whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What that means is God is going to cover you with the righteousness of Christ. You might be very bad underneath here. We are. Let's just say the truth. But God doesn't see it. He chooses not to see it.
Thank you, Jesus.
This is what he'll do for you right now. Whatever you've done, washed, it's cleansed, it's wiped away forever and ever. And then, as y'all know, and I did this one before too, I just want you to know that he don't just cover you on the outside, but he also fills you on the inside. Fills you on the inside, so you are sandwiched in the righteousness of God. The Holy Ghost is inside, working out that stuff that you can't fix. He's in there convicting you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's in there making the word of God that you couldn't see before open up to you. And now you can understand what thus saith the Lord. At the same time the Father's wrath, you're covered on the outside by the blood of Jesus. This is the deal God is making for you. And so Paul, he finally got it. And he went about trying to straighten out some of the mess that he had made when he was trying to persecute the church. And so he says here, nay, old man, in verse number 20, he said, but who are you who replies against God? How do we have the nerve to question God? Lord, why are you doing me like this? Soon as something go wrong. Oh, God, what you do me that way for? We want to question the Lord while we're going through. And he says, hath not the potter power over the clay? Of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? You know what happened to Pharaoh? You read about him. We're going to just share this with you. Pharaoh was given 10 opportunities to repent. Every time a plague hit, he could have said, I fall on my face, I worship the Most High God, and got saved. God would have saved him. But you know what he did? He hardened his heart.
Yes, he did.
Says over and over, several times, he hardened his heart.
Yes.
He hardened his heart. Then as the plagues kept on hitting Egypt, suddenly it starts to say God hardened his heart. Because he got to where I don't want to hear from God. I close that door. I'm not going to believe in him. I don't care what you say. And when he had gotten like that, God said, okay, all right, fine. We're going to make you harder. He sealed his own faith.
Yes, he did.
By refusing to repent.
That's right. Amen.
And accept the blessing that God wanted to put on
us. I know, that's right.
You see? So God doesn't harden you unless you want to be hardened.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Come on. If you want to be hardened, you can set it up.
That's right. Amen.
But if you want his mercy, our message last week was choose mercy now, right now.
Yes.
Choose mercy right now.
Hallelujah.
Why would you wait one more second? You know what? I'm so happy. I bet you I could get some witnesses in this room here.
Amen.
Somebody who's been walking with God for a while.
Yeah.
You came in, you were a mess.
Yeah.
You was tore up from the floor up. You came in, you was all whacked out and jacked up. But you said, Lord, I need your help.
Yes, Lord.
I give in.
Yeah.
I want to take you up on your deal.
Yeah.
I want to trust your son.
Yeah.
That crucified one.
Yeah.
That one who died and was crucified out there on that cross.
Yes.
That shed his blood to settle that account between me and you once and for all.
Yes.
And then you raised him from the dead to show that he even had power over the grave. Death and hell.
Yes.
Satan, you don't have nothing in your arsenal that can stop what the Lord is doing. And once you accept that crucified one,
my God,
then your life began to change.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes. You will.
You begin to walk a new walk.
Yes, you will.
You begin to talk a new talk.
Yes.
You begin to have new affections and desires.
Yes.
You begin to be able to open up your mouth and praise the King, the Most High. You began to worship for real.
Yes.
Not no phoniness coming to church and I'm going to act like I'm holy. None of that. You began to worship the King because you knew he was worthy.
Oh, yes, he is.
And then your life started to change.
Yes.
As the Spirit of the Lord took up residence in you and began to show you that Bible that you only read here and there. And now you began to become interested and engrossed in what God has said in his word. Can't get enough of it. You know, that change happens. That's what the Bible calls being born again of the Spirit of God. Once you are born again of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost will finish the good work that he started. Philippians 1:6. The Apostle Paul says, I'm confident of this very thing, that he which hath began a good work in you will continue to perform it even till the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now I wanted you to look at this Exodus passage where we'll be done in a second here. I want you to see that in the Ten Commandments here, there are some things about God that are revealed in this text that are pertinent to our understanding in Romans 9.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
First of all, it says, and God spake all these words, penned by Moses in the Pentateuch, or the book of the law, the second book of the law.
Right.
I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. God is a liberating God.
Oh, yes, he is.
He will set you free. He wants you free. You know, people think religion is going to bind me up and I'm not going to be able to do what I want. No, you're already bound up. God wants to break the chains and set you free. He wants you to be who you really are supposed to be. And you haven't discovered who you are yet. But when you trust him, he's going to take the chains of the devil off and set you free. You'll be like that Gadarene demoniac in Mark 5 who was sitting there. And he had been able to break those physical chains. They chained him up in the cemetery to show you how bad off he was. The people hated him. He said, love him. Chain that dude in the cemetery until he died. That's the way they felt about it. That's how cold people are.
Yep.
People kick you to the curb and read you your rights.
Yes,
you know, but God, but he broke them free. He broke the chains, so why was he still there? He could leave if he wanted to, but the Bible says he was breaking the chains. They chained him up in the cemetery.
Uh-huh.
How terrible was that?
Yes.
And he could go anytime he wanted if he was breaking the chains, right?
Yes.
But he said, I like these folk here better than those out there.
Wow.
These people are not bothering me who are in here.
Uh-huh.
You ever feel like that?
Uh-huh.
You know, the folk in here are quiet. They don't bother me.
Oh, God.
You see, but he was full of demons.
Yes,
and when he saw Jesus coming, he had to run down to be set free.
Yes.
Of the inside chains, the internal chains that he couldn't break.
Oh, yes. That's what
he didn't have authority to break those chains on the inside.
Yes.
Come on.
And he says, are you coming to cast us into the pit? Because he was so full of demons.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a little bit distant from our text. But he said, Jesus told him, you can be free right now.
Yes.
And the Bible says the thing that blew everybody's mind was when they came and saw him clothed and in his right mind.
Yes, yes.
Right.
Wow. Because he was in there nude, running around in the nude, breaking
that's
up
right.
chains.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Scary dude, if you want to really look him over. That's another whole story, very strange story. But God says, I'm the one who set you free.
Yeah.
You shall have no other gods before
no other
me.
Gods.
Those things that say they're gods are the things that bind you up. They don't say they're gods till after I got you and you're addicted. Then you find out I'm a God.
That's right. That's right.
If my name is Heron or whatever my name is.
That's right.
If my name is marijuana or whatever it is. If my name is adultery or lust or whatever it is. See, I got you now. Now you find out I'm a God. I'm controlling you.
Yeah.
You see, but God says, I am the Lord your God. I'm going to bring you out of the house of bondage. You should have no other gods before me. You shall not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. These are the kind of idols people made throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
You shall not bow yourself down to them. We could add so many altars to that other list.
Yeah.
Anything else that has you bowing down to it, other than the Most High God, is an altar and it's
come on,
an idol.
Come on.
Yes, it is.
You see, whether it be a bank account or anything else,
come on, come on.
It could be a job.
Yes.
It could be a number of things that could lock you down. Some people worship their vehicle, their car.
And
there's all kinds of idols in the world.
Yes,
and you have to be careful because God wants your heart to himself.
Yes.
He says, you shall not bow yourself down nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God. Know why? Because I am a jealous God.
Yeah.
That means, and you understand, God uses that kind of language because you and I understand jealousy.
Yeah.
We know what it's like to have a significant other and somebody else fooling around with my other. We don't allow that.
Amen.
Leave mine alone. This is mine. We understand that. So God wants you to know, I'm a jealous God. I love you.
Yes.
You are mine.
Yes.
If you belong to me, I don't want somebody messing around with you.
That's right.
I want you to myself.
Yeah.
I want to have intimacy with you, only you.
Yeah.
No one else. You see? So we understand that. So he puts it in that language. And he says, I am visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation. Notice this, of them that hate me.
Mm-hmm.
Last week when we studied, the Bible says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And people thought it was a problem if God hated Esau. But what about all the people who hate God?
Mm-hmm.
How about all the folks who hate God?
Yeah.
That's okay. It's all right if you hate God. No, it's not.
No.
It's not okay. Why? Because God says that you shall not take my name in vain.
Mm-hmm.
He says, but he says he visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. That means fathers who don't love God don't teach their children about God.
Yeah.
They don't teach their children about God. Next thing you know, you got what we got running
come
in the streets. Right now, we're in about 50 years of generations that have rejected God.
Yeah.
We threw God out the school, threw him out through the Bible, out the school, threw it out the center of life. Told people you can't practice that out here. You got to take that inside and practice. You can't do it in the public square. And now the kids are killing other kids and killing their parents and doing all kinds of stuff. And you want to know that's your iniquity. You passed it down for three generations. Now it's out of control.
Come on.
So you and I got to take it back. We got to call on the generation that is now and raise up a generation that loves God, that trusts in the truth, that will put their money where their mouth is, that will put their work where their mouth is. They won't just talk about religion. We're going to walk it. We're going to talk it. We're going to share it. We're going to show the love of God. We're going to live the love of God. We're not just going to talk about it. Talk is cheap until the phone bill comes in. You see? Don't just talk it. We got to get busy. Roll up your sleeves.
Hallelujah.
Whatever it takes to get it done.
Amen.
But when people don't do it, they say, well, that's God hating them. No, they hated him first.
Yes, Lord.
And he gave them 3 or 4 generations to get it together.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And they turned their back on God. And so this is the mess we have right now around us. But you know what? You and I can turn it around.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah.
If we haven't been judged, we can turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to get together, get on the same page, and give honor and glory to the God who loves us.
That's right.
He hadn't forgotten us.
No.
He has not forgotten you. No matter what you've been through, he has not forgotten you.
Never.
He said, lo, I am with you always.
Always.
Even to the end of the world. If the world haven't ended yet, we can still move forward in God.
Come on, guys.
We don't have to take a back seat to the devil at any time.
Amen.
We can move forward in God.
Oh, yes, we can.
Trusting in him.
Yes.
As some of our previous parents did. A lot of times, the parents are the ones, the reason why we're here.
Yes.
I had God-fearing parents in my background who loved me and prayed for me. They prayed for me when I was out there bad.
Yes.
And that's the reason that I came back. I honestly believe it was the prayers of the previous generations.
Yes.
And God honored those prayers even though they went home to be with God.
Yes.
He continued to honor it. And he got me out of my mess.
Yes.
And got me thinking right now. So I hope you're thinking right and that you will be pliable in the Master's hands.
Yes.
Will you allow him to shape your life, to mold you, to raise you up as a standard in the midst of corruption?
Yes.
He wants to do it.
Yes, he does.
He's the only one who can do it.
That's right.
Any other efforts are futile. They're going to come to nothing. Because God says, I am he who shows mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments.
My Lord.
See that? He says, I'm going to show you mercy. That means even though I don't deserve it,
yes, Lord.
Yes.
He shows you mercy. Yes. Anyway, mercy is when I don't get what I deserve.
Amen.
My Lord.
And so if it wasn't for his mercy, Israel would not have existed.
Yes.
If it wasn't for his mercy, the church would not exist right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so you want to make yourself pliable. Notice what it says in Romans 9 and 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, he says, willing to show his wrath and to make his own power known, endured much long with much long suffering. That means he put up with somebody that fought against him a long time. Long suffering means I put up with you a long time. Put up with you a long time. You've been a long time out of fellowship with me. I've been there not giving you what you deserve again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
Long time.
Long time.
And all you have to do is turn around.
That's it.
And you can receive my mercy.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah.
But people say no. They go on against it.
Yeah.
And now notice this, verse number 24. Even us whom he says he hath called, not only the Jews also, but the Gentiles. See, God has always had mercy on anyone. It didn't make any difference if they were not a Jew.
Yes.
You know where we get the record of that? The Bible.
Amen.
Look in the Bible. Bible will show you, I can show you, I wish we had time and we don't today, all kinds of Gentiles that got saved all along the way.
Mm-hmm.
We could just name a few as we always do. We might name, look through those genealogies. You'll see Ruth, the Moabitess, not a Jew. She got blessed.
Yes, she did.
You see all kinds of folks. Bathsheba.
Yep.
You can go on down the list. There's all kinds of people naming the Syrian.
Rahab
the harlot. We can make you a list a mile long.
Yes.
Didn't make any difference. If you trust God, he's going to bring you in right now.
Yes, he will.
So we need to learn to accept the hand that has been dealt to us. Sometimes we blame God for our troubles.
My God.
We're having troubles, then we want to say, oh, it's God's fault.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to know that God has promised to be with you even in difficult circumstances.
Yes.
And has chosen to bless those whom he has called, justified and glorified, with the intention to make you a vessel of honor, capable of doing all things required through his son, Christ Jesus, the perfect model. Look at what Jesus went through.
Yes.
There was nothing wrong with him at all. No sin. God was happy when he was conceived. God was blessed when he was baptized.
Yeah.
God said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased all through his life. And yet he suffered a gruesome death.
Yes, he did.
Was crucified on the cross.
My God.
In order to pay the debt that you and I owe in full.
My Lord, thank you, Jesus.
And you want to talk about suffering, nobody ever suffered like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the history of the world, although he didn't deserve it at all.
Right.
Yeah. He was God and veiled in human flesh.
Yeah.
My Lord.
And so that's the model we have to go by. What have you been through? Like the writer to the Hebrews says, you haven't suffered to the shedding of blood.
Yeah.
None of
no
you.
Way. No way.
We worry because, oh, I didn't get the desk I wanted at my job. Everybody is against me. And we got all kinds of petty little stuff compared to the cross. What is it?
Yeah. No.
Yeah. I didn't get the raise I wanted. Mm. You know what? I actually, somebody told me I was getting a raise, and I made my offering higher today just because I heard. I haven't even gotten a check yet. That's what I'm talking about. Because I know how God blesses.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see, I already know, so I'm going to write the check today.
Yeah. Amen.
I already did that. You notice we're doing this after the offering, so don't think I'm trying to get you to put in more. But I'm just letting you know what I did. Me and my wife, we said we're going to pay more right now.
Amen.
Because we already know what God is doing.
God's saving.
Hallelujah.
You can trust him.
Yes, sir.
So God is keeping his original promises, regardless of what anyone else. Don't let somebody trick you and tell you there's something else God is doing now. He's keeping his original promises. You know what he promised Abraham? In your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And there wasn't a Jew in existence. Not a one.
None.
And when they did come into existence, not all Israel is Israel, Paul said. Only those who trusted God and had faith in him.
That's right.
You see that? And so there's no difference. God is no respecter of persons, we say.
That's right.
And so we need to realize that trust God no matter what anyone else is saying. Mm-hmm. And we must trust what God has said. That means check the word.
Yes.
Understand the word right. Trust it supremely. Mm-hmm. And learn how to fix your life, your mind, your body. God's going to fix everything. Whatever you need fixed, he is well capable of doing it. And the word of God teaches us these things, and they are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So it is God's desire to have you be his right now. So the question I have for you is, will you be pliable in the hands of God? Will you turn over your life to the Lord?
Yes.
Will you trust him to water and plant and build and make you what you need to be?
My Lord.
I hope that you will, just as you are. You know, so just as you are, you can come. Doesn't make any difference, so that he can help you make sense out of all that you've been through.
Amen.
And he can teach you the best way to use it all for his glory.
Oh, yes, he will.
You must be pliable in the master's hands.
Yes.
To work. So I just want to ask today, if there's anybody here that you want to come today, that you have not been saved, we want to make this opportunity available for you.
My Lord.
I want you to know the price has been paid in full. You won't owe anything. All you have to do is give the Lord your heart.
That's it.
Be pliable in the master's hand. Amen. Let him shape you. This is where it starts, right here. He has authorized the church on earth to represent him. He says, whoever believes you receives me.
Yes.
That's what God says. So the church is important.
Oh, yes, it is.
The most important organism on earth. You might say, oh, I thought it was Lockheed Martin or Boeing. No, no. It's the church.
Yes.
The church is who God has ordained to call men, women, boys, and girls to salvation.
Yes, sir.
No other place can you be saved except by the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
And the church is ordained by God to share the message of good news with you.
Yes.
To minister and apply the word.
Yes.
The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will adjust your life by the washing of regeneration and renewing. Renews your life.
Yes.
He can make you do. If you're here today, don't resist him.
My Lord.
Come right now.